WeGetTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Once again, Mary and I welcome you back to the New York City area. We're up to the G Block, and today, well, that's going to be the personal connection, which is being made possible by another new show sponsor, EnviroCleanse.
And if you think all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board Navy ships? It's because their advanced mineral technology goes beyond ordinary HEPA filters to destroy airborne illness-causing cold and flu viruses, including the coronavirus. This is the new science in air purification that works, and now you can order one for your home to protect your family or your small office to protect the team. This is how you help stop colds and flu from taking you down this fall and winter.
Folks, take a few minutes. Go check out ekpure.com. Use code CARRY to save 10% off your EnviroCleanse home air purification unit. You'll also receive a free air quality monitor plus free shipping. It's $150 savings. There's a school system down in Georgia that just installed these units. Within 30 minutes of starting them up, 90% of the germs and airborne toxins were gone. Within an hour, it was 100%. Think about how much healthier these kids are right now. And frankly, their families and all the teachers and administrators, what an edge they have. With cold and flu season almost here and the coronavirus still around, join us. Get this protection at ekpure.com. Use code CARRY, save 10%. Get the free air quality monitor and free shipping. You'll also find a link at rmworldtravel.com. Look under sponsors.
Today's personal connection segment is about to take us around the world with Sasha Martin's personal journey of choosing to cook one meal from every country in the world. Having visited 12 countries by the time she was 19, Sasha was inspired by global cuisine. In fact, she spent some time at the Culinary Institute and then on to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she would end up settling. I'm going to leave it there for now. Let's get Sasha on that show hotline.
Nice to have you on the program today, Sasha. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, great to have you with us on a Saturday morning. So listen, Sasha, you know, this sounds like a massive project for you. I want to know what initially inspired the desire to cook a meal from every country. I love it, but how long did it take you?
Well, it was almost 4 years. And the initial idea was because I had a new little baby, 6 months old, my daughter, and my husband was super picky. And so I was trying to figure out how to incorporate my love for international cooking and adventure with this, you know, baby that was about to start eating solid food.
That is not a typical thing most moms do.
No, and I love too that your husband was picky, but you decided to go for it and try to find a whole, yeah, you know, different meals from different countries to explore and enjoy. So, Sasha, you blogged about it initially as a way to chronicle it and share your recipes and adventures with people. I believe the blog was called Global Table Adventure.
That's right.
Sasha, how did cooking all of these meals from around the world affect your family, your husband, your daughter, and even your friends? It's sort of a form of armchair travel, but you call it something else, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I call it stovetop travel. And you know, it's a really tremendous thing. I mean, for starters, with the family, when you have a little baby, it can be hard to travel. And so getting together, trying these new flavors, actually imprint on the baby's taste buds. We know even a pregnant woman, what she eats can influence that child throughout their life and what they eat. So already we were setting that foundation. But it was interesting. One thing that happened was that my husband did become less picky. I also got to get some grounding in my own community in Tulsa. I hadn't lived here very long, and I was under the impression it wasn't a very international community. And as I began searching for ingredients week after week, I started to discover that there really are a lot of people from all over the place here, and I kept coming across them. And so it kind of, the big impact was I had a bigger sense of community and attachment to Tulsa as I went through it, and the world, of course.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mentioned in your intro that you'd visited something like 12 countries by the time you were 19, but you did not have a typical childhood. In fact, you describe it as rough and tumble with foster care involved and some other things. Since you're in our personal connection segment of the show, which is about travel and kind of the way it affects or transforms people, did you find that cooking your way around the world also stirred up some things personally for you?
Yes, absolutely. So the thing about my childhood was, even though I was in and out of foster homes, food was always this touchstone for me. So my mother, who was on welfare, would make these elaborate recipes to sort of entertain us and take us out of our circumstances. So we would have like a 21-layer German tree cake, and that would take all day to make. And so as I was cooking the world, I started to remember and even retry some of these, reclaim some of these recipes from my childhood. And then for recipes that were unfamiliar to me, I got to see that, you know, this is the same thing all over the world. Mothers trying to put the best they can on the table for their kids, and a lot of really beautiful celebration recipes. And so finding that connection between my mother and mothers around the world, and then also like the imperfect, you know, difficult childhood, was a really healing process. It was difficult at times, but overall healing.
So to that point, you know, we were told that you took, you know, your journey further. That was at the advice of your editor. You decided to write a National Geographic book called Life from Scratch. And folks, it, you know, it's a deeper extension of Sasha's journey. We respect Sasha. You know, you had a childhood filled with losses. You do write fondly of your Italian mother. I connect with that, being the Sicilian here on the show. Even though you didn't travel with her, travel would come later in life for you. Did she influence your, you know, global culinary interests? I mean, from what I see, she did, didn't she?
No, absolutely. I mean, whether it was diving into our heritage with the Italian and Hungarian roots, she would take us to folk festivals. And even though we couldn't leave, you know, really the reaches of our city and state, we were exploring all the time. I remember one time we had Irish soda bread, and we learned the recipe from an Irish woman. And so later my guardians took me overseas, and that's, I kind of already had a foundation of curiosity and respect for, you know, people doing things different.
You know, it's interesting, Sasha. I'm about halfway through your book right now. It just came this week. That's the only reason I'm halfway through it. But your journey really is interesting. And what's also interesting is I understand that you had a very difficult childhood, and people can read the book to find out there are some other things that happened when you were young. But your journey is, I actually find it really inspiring, because you really took a tough time. And I love the whole connection with food that you've done, but also your travels to Europe with your foster family. And I know there was some rough patches there as well. You moved around a lot within Europe. That must have been difficult to go from not traveling and being with your mom to all of a sudden being in foster care and going all over.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. What was the last thing you said?
Sorry. So I was talking about the fact that it must have been tough for you that, you know, you were with your mom and learning through her and food and all of that, but then you all of a sudden you're thrust into this foster family situation where you find yourself abroad in new cultures and foreign countries. And how tough was that for you?
You know, it was really difficult, but it was exactly those things, all the new culture and experiences, that also lifted me out of it. You know, in my new family, it was encouraged to get a good education. And so I wasn't in the kitchen like I, you know, had been with my mom. And instead, I would go into the, you know, neighborhood and the local boulangerie, and I would experience, you know, nothing like a good French baguette, or I would learn to love stinky cheeses. And so even though it was a very difficult separation from, you know, what I knew as a child in America, it was also a really exciting time.
All right, so let me ask you this. You know, if we boil it down to a few adjectives, maybe a couple key points, Sasha, what do you think, you know, most folks identify with when it comes to food and travel? Mary and I have our opinions, and we do talk about that on the show a lot, but I'd love to hear yours. And what do you most identify with in terms of, you know, what this journey has done for you?
Well, with food and travel, I think it's, well, at least for me, one of the things that I find most fascinating is when you see an ingredient you know, and it's used a little bit different, or it's prepared a little differently. So trying a new kind of bread, or when I was in Greece, seeing the honey on top of the plain yogurt, and what a simple but delicious way to have honey. I had always had it in my tea, but I'd never had it dolloped on some plain yogurt. You know, and for me, both traveling in real life and stovetop travel taught me that the way we eat and the way we prepare our food is like this, it can be like a walking meditation. It can be this process of, you know, we come together, we celebrate, we soothe each other, but also like that 21-layer German tree cake I talked about, you know, that slow, intentional process of making a really special dish can really uplift us and bring us out of a funk.
Well, I think that's very well put.
Sasha, I look forward to finishing your book and learning more about your journey. Just so interesting. Very inspiring.
And folks, we want to let you know, if you know you want to spend some time and connect with Sasha yourself, you can do that at sashamartin.com, sashamartin.com. Really enjoyed connecting with you on this Saturday morning, Sasha. Interesting story. I love the stovetop travel. I really do. Hope you have a great weekend. And I guess, you know, at your house, you'll be making something interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Robert and Mary.
Thank you. Take care.
Sounds good. Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your story. Take care.
All right, again, sashamartin.com, folks. As we pause for a few important sponsor messages in the bottom of the hour break, now is a good time to go vote in those latest travel polls that we talked about at the beginning of Hour 1. If you missed the start of Hour 1, well, go check them out at rmworldtravel.com. We'll be sharing the results next week with you. Mary and I will be back in mere moments to talk shoulder season travel next. Don't go anywhere as your favorite travel radio show rolls on.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.